So, so one day I was here kind of just minding my own business, and this, you know what, good-looking, well-dressed man comes into the house, and he has blessed us ever since he's been here, and just such a blessing. So, Ronald has been a blessing in so many ways. He's really been a huge blessing directly to Tamara and I. And let me tell you what he showed us. As he came in understanding honor, he just brought honor to us. And he has served us and been kind to us and been right there to be just sensitive to Pastor, what do you need? And very, very focused. And it is a great example to all of us. This man knows the word and preaches the word. And I'm telling you what, it is. I just thank God for the work that is taking place at Teen Challenge. Amen. And we, again, tithes and offerings, we support Teen Challenge. Amen. Financially. You know, how many know this stuff don't happen by accident? You know what? It takes money to do this, and we support it, and we're glad to do it. You know what? God is redeeming lives because people care, and you care, and you are going to, trust me, what a treat. Ronald, come up and bless us today.
Well, praise God. That was all right for me. Now let's give God some praise. Come on, let's give God some praise. He's worthy. The Lord is worthy to be praised. There's one thing about worship that a lot of times we don't think about is his worth, that we all get to be in the ship. Worth ship, that old ship of Zion. We all get a chance to participate. Stand on your feet with me as we read this text. Now, today is the day of Pentecost. All over Christendom, we celebrate Pentecost. In Pentecostal circles, it's the day that the Holy Ghost came back to complete the promise that Jesus spoke, and he's yet fulfilling his promises. Acts 2, 38 and 39, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not some folk, but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Father, we thank you today once again for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Lord, I present myself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. Enable me to be an instrument and an oracle of your grace. If there be any glory, let it remain at Calvary, where Jesus not only glorified the Father in death, but he glorified him in resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now you can be seated. Praise God. Truly, I am honored to stand behind this sacred desk. And I don't take it lightly, because it's not just something that we do to win a popularity contest. This ain't about popularity. I honor the leaders here, Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara, my brother who comes and usher us in every Sunday morning. The pastors who undergird the leaders. You guys are an instrument of God's work, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. But watch this. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. See, it's something about a fisherman. He fishes in the water, and he gets the fish, and the fish dies so you can eat it. Amen? But when you become a fisher of men, you go out in the world, and you pull death into life so you can feed it. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a student in Teen Challenge. I'm not a teen, but I was challenged. Can I get a witness? I spent 15 years in an addiction, opiates, after being clean for 16 years. So here's my new motto. Nancy Reagan and Spike Lee. Nancy Reagan said, just say no to drugs. And Spike Lee made a movie called Do the Right Thing. If I do what's right, I'm accepted by God. If I don't, Nancy gonna take me back down the street. And I ain't going no more. Y'all think I be saying little stuff and they think I be playing, but I be serious. I be serious. Listen, our text today, in spite of everything, God does all things after the counsel of his own will. And I'm so grateful that when I threw in the towel, he threw it back. 19 months ago, I didn't even want to be alive no more. I was so tired of struggling in addiction, I was trying to catch the stagecoach home. And I threw in the towel and God threw it back. So it's not an accident that I'm standing here today with you. Out of the 7 billion people on the planet, look, God got us all in this little room. It's 7 billion folk on the planet. But here we are. And the Bible says, out of one blood, God created every nation of man to dwell upon the face of the earth, and he appointed the boundaries and habitations where we would be. So if I could be anywhere on the planet right now, I would rather be standing right here, because I'm confident that I am in the will of God. Come on, y'all missed a good chance to say amen. There's so much I want to share with you, but Teen Challenge is an instrument. Listen, Mr. Webster didn't come up with this definition of education. Education is the process whereby we deal with life's circumstances and situations from an informed perspective. So in the process of education, children go to school, they go to high school, they get out of high school, and they think they've made it. And then they enter the school of life, and they get beat up. Well, Teen Challenge is an organization for over 60 years rebuilding broken lives. Homeless, helpless, hurting, drug addiction, alcoholism, any debilitating life circumstance could have been a bad decision. So I say that this is a commercial. No, but we all have family members. We have folk who are struggling in the dark night of the soul. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But that word destroy in the Greek is apolemai. And it means not to destroy utterly, but to damage or ruin from the original purpose and intent for which we were made. There's an old English word called abnormal use. You take normal out of the center of it and it spells abuse. And if we are not walking in the original purpose and intent for which we were created, we're being abused. So, 2 Samuel 11:1 says this. There was a time, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him. Now, David should have been at war, but he stayed home. And he went out on his rooftop, and he saw this beautiful woman. We didn't want to go there. But he saw Bathsheba, and she was fine as all outdoors. So, what happened? David was out of place. If he would have been at war, he would never have saw Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba belonged to Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's loyal servants. And Uriah was so loyal, David called him off the battlefield, brought him to the king's house, served him meat, got him drunk, and tried to send him home. And Uriah said, "It ain't gonna happen, my lord. Joab and servants are out there at war, and I'm gonna go home and be with my wife." I don't think so. And David, in his ability as a king, said, "Uriah, go back to the battlefield, give this message to Joab." And it was his own hit. He carried the message that was going to kill him. That's how loyal Uriah was. This is what we need as men. We need loyalty to undergird the leaders. We need men who's going to stand up for righteousness and holiness. So, watch. Now, here's Prophet Nathan in the 12th chapter, in the first verse says, comes to David and says, there was a man who had one little ewe lamb, and the other man had a whole bunch of stuff. But this man came and took the one man's ewe lamb and gave it to the wayfaring man or the guy who was visiting instead of taking one of his sheep or oxen or doves. And David said, "Where is the man? I'll have his head." And Nathan said, "You the man." Whew. Can you imagine the conviction that David must have experienced? David realized that he had sinned against God. And he penned the 51st Psalm. And it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions and wash me thoroughly of iniquity. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be clear when thou speakest and right, or when thou have judgment. And then he said, in the inward parts thou desirest truth. But he said, in the hidden part, make me to know wisdom. And what David was saying was, teach me truth in such a way that my past calamities doesn't damage my future expectation. So men, stop blaming stuff on women. When Adam sinned, it wasn't Eve's fault. Because when Eve partook of the fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam partook, both their eyes were opened. So whenever a man like Adam or David was out of place, the woman automatically became misplaced. The children were displaced. God was replaced, and the society or the world became disgraced. So, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. He called us out of that darkness and that damaging situation so that we can share in his marvelous light. He gives us the ability to participate with him in the divine exchange. He took on that wickedness on the cross so that we could take on his righteousness. And what we don't understand is that Jesus never turns his back on us. He turns his back on his, we turn our back on him. But watch this, watch this. When Jesus was on Calvary, he said, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our back on him. He turned his back on his son because of sin. God is a spirit, and he was spirit before he was ever written on paper or became flesh. Here's what the Bible says in John 1 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them he gives power to become the sons and daughters of God. Now, this word became flesh in the person of Jesus so that flesh could be conformed back to the word. Once flesh is conformed to the word, then it will be transformed by the word. Watch this. In the third chapter of John, there was a man named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night. And most theologians, they focus on the fact that he came by night. It don't matter when he came. The fact is that he came. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except they be sent by God. But Jesus was not just a man who was sent by God. He was God who came to teach. And he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born is flesh, is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Nick said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? I submit to you today, this seed is the word of God. Out of every form of life, there's a parentage. In the natural realm, you have a father and you have a mother. In the spiritual realm, if God is the father of the believer, who's the mother? It ain't the Virgin Mary, and it ain't Mother Nature. But it's the human heart in which the seed is imparted into the heart that brings forth the spiritual birth. And you can't feed that spirit man Jack in the Box and Taco Bell. It's got to eat at the Gospel Cafe. This is why I love your leaders. Because they teach the word of God. They don't teach Dr. Phil. They don't teach Oprah. Hey, this ain't about feelings. It's about faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can I get a witness? Now, watch this, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, we have this great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and in all points, he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. That means that Jesus is touched by your low bank account. He's touched by sickness. He's touched by dis-ease and disease. He's touched by afflictions and infirmities, but that don't move him. Dead presidents don't move him. What moves him is our faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him sometime. No, that seek him every now and then. That seek him on Monday. Oh, just on Sunday. That seek him diligently. Now, here we go. Watch this. The oldest man on the planet was 969 years old. And all we know is he died. Jesus spent 33 years and he said it's finished. Now, men, every man that's born on the planet is born on death row. The first man was created. He wasn't born. And woman came out of man. But every other man that came in the world came out of woman. So the woman is without the man and the man is without the woman. But watch this. God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of woman. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. I don't think it's a woman in this room who don't want a godly man. Why? Because a godly man is a priest, a provider, and a protector. He's not a pill-popping, pushing pervert. See, we get our peas mixed up. Because perversion came in when he tricked Adam. He had everything he needed. He had the presence of God. And he participated in something that he didn't even need. Wow. So, men, we need to do the right thing. If we do what's right, we're accepted by God. The first sin that was outside of Adam and Eve was Cain and Abel. And God came to Cain and said, why are you so downcast? If you do what's right, you'll be accepted. And it still stands today because Abel's blood is still crying out. Righteousness and wickedness don't act on the same team. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know why? Because ungodly folk are without God. So, I want to encourage the men today. I won't be here next week because I'm graduating. But it's not something I'm going to be stuck on. It's only a promotion. There's yet work in the kingdom that needs to be done. So I want to encourage the men to continue to grow in grace. All Jesus wants from men, women, and children is just to come back home to the Father. You know what I am so blessed by is that when I was on staff at a church in San Diego for 7 years, I was at the altar with my ex-wife, and she was pregnant with my son, who's 22 now. And the man of God prophesied that he would be the reason, this child in the womb would be the reason that we would be reminded of the peace God was going to bring in our relationship. And November 7th, 2017, my son turned 21. Now, he hated me because I abandoned them, and he experienced things that a child is not supposed to experience. But God. God put it upon his heart because he seen me struggling in depression and affliction and addiction and everything that he knows is not like God. And he began to pray for me and pray with me. And on his 21st birthday, he pulled me to the side and said, Dad, this ain't right. Something ain't right with this. And the son was able to bring the prodigal father home. November the 20th, I checked in the Teen Challenge, and I've been here ever since. And all God wanted me to do was come back home to him. It took me 15 years to get back home. 15 years. But here's the thing. As we're seated here today, we all have our little ego and idiosyncrasies. We ease God out of a lot of things. We got our jail cells. Where that cell phone at? Over there. It's a cell. The enemy is a crafty character. He got everybody on the planet with a cell now. They got their own jail. They got Facebook. You go out into the superhighway, and it keep you stuck there for hours. And if it ain't Facebook, it's the television. Men, what are we spending our time on? The oldest man on the planet was 969 years old, and Jesus spent 33 years and said it's finished. It don't matter how much time we got. It's what we do with the time we have left. Can I get a witness? Stand on your feet. Listen, I'm guilty. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone our own way. We want to spend more time at Burger King, having it our own way, than spending time with the King. Can I get a witness? And all God wants us to do is to come home. He said, come unto me, all ye that wear yourself out with all this stuff that don't hold no water in the cup. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. You have two leaders here who teaches. Preaching will make you happy, but teaching will keep you happy. And then you can go out and teach others. But you can't give somebody something you don't have. God wants to give to you the same thing he gives to leaders. He's not a respecter of persons. The spirit is not a gender. The person who spends time with God will have power with God. If Mary was able to carry the word for 9 months, why can't you carry it to the store? Why can't you carry it to a baby shower? Why can't you carry it behind the sacred desk? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the spirit of truth. God, we love you. You that search the heart, you know what is the mind of the Spirit, for you make intercession according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. Lord, even in our inability to receive and to adhere, you're able to take the crooked and make it straight. Bring us home to you. Bind the enemy on every hand and cast the devil out of the mind. Rebuke fear and sickness in Jesus' name. God, heal our hearts. Heal our minds. We take authority over every assignment of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we release the spirit of peace. Jehovah Shalom. You said you would keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So you may sit down, but I want you to stay and I'll dismiss you in a little bit, but I want us just to stay in the mode of hearing God. And the first thing I want to ask is, if someone, you don't know you're a Christian, you're not sure you're a Christian, you haven't asked Jesus in your life, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus doesn't, you know what, he doesn't force himself into your heart. But he will come into anybody's heart that asks him. And if you want to ask him today, you know what, I'm not going to, you know, insist that you come up front. We don't want to embarrass anyone, with every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you want, I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. And if you want to pray that with me, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to say, by raising your hand, you're saying, I want to become a Christian today. I want to come into the family. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Yes, yes, I see that hand. You can put your hands down now. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. You can put your hands down. Okay, good. Good. Let's pray this. Let's ask Jesus in our heart. Jesus, come in my heart. I want to become a Christian. I want to stop making my own decisions. I want to make you my Lord. Change me from the inside out. I repent. I'm sorry for all the crazy things I've done. But in particular, running my own life. I want you to be my Lord. Thank you. I'm in your family today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me say to you who accepted Jesus in your heart right now, if you ask Jesus in your heart, we believe he came in your heart. Today is your spiritual birthday, and we are so proud of you. Amen. Is Pastor Paul here? There you are. How could I miss you? When we dismiss in a minute, we're going to do one more prayer, but when we dismiss in a minute, Pastor Paul's going to come up here, and he's got a special, we want to get you off to the right track. So he's got some materials that we want to give you absolutely free, no cost, to start your Christian life. And so he'll be up front. Just ask him, hey, Pastor G was talking about some believer's pack. We have that for you. We want to give that to you. Now, who heard from God today? Who recognized that God was, who would raise your hand and write, man, God was reading my mail today. Who wants to raise your hand? Who wants to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to just commit that whatever he said, I don't know what he said to you, but I don't want to leave this place without you praying, without me recognizing that God speaks and I heard him. And not just I heard him, but I want to leave different than I came in. I want to leave with a greater sense of love and a commitment to you. And I just, whatever he spoke to you, because here's the thing. When God speaks, you know what? It's so interesting because I'll preach a sermon and somebody over here will say, oh, Pastor Drew, when you said this and boom, this blessed me. And then somebody over here will say, oh, when you said this. And then somebody else will come over here and say, you know what, something else. And then somebody over here will say, Pastor, when you said this thing, I don't even remember saying that. But how many know God has a supernatural way of speaking to all kinds of different people exactly what they need? So let's not leave just in the same way that we came in. Let's leave changed. Amen? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I see the hands up over. You spoke to us today. And whatever you spoke to us today, whatever it was, I pray that we would not just say it was a good word, but it was a God word to me. And I leave here changed, dedicated to do whatever you're asking me to do, to drop whatever you're asking me to drop, to start up whatever you're asking me to start up, whatever adjustments you want to make, I want to make those adjustments. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now, before we leave, I want you to stretch your hands to this man over here who's blessed us. He's blessed us. Can we bless him today? Father, I thank you for my friend, and I thank you for the calling on his life. And Satan tried to take him out, but you were faithful. And Father, we thank you that he will fulfill what God has called him to fulfill. And he has even, to some extent, done some of that today. And we give you praise for blessing us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Yes.
Just before he closes, I sat there looking at these and just reading the cylinders that with God, nothing is impossible. And today being Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit here with us, when the Holy Spirit descended, it changed everything. Just like Jesus said that it would. And we have so many of us, you know what, have our faith out there saying, hey, God, with you, nothing's impossible. It just seems very fitting. And I know that the interns and the staff, we pray over these throughout the week. But let us just today remind ourselves, you know what? And I just want to, you know what, just as I think about the Holy Spirit and the significance of Pentecost Sunday, that God just breathe, amen, on everything that's in these cylinders. You know what? That we would experience just the descending of God in every person who has their faith out here. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is our friend. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. It's in him that we get truth and your character and your wisdom and your word on things. And so, Father, we just lift up every single need that someone has their faith out there. You have not because you asked not, but these people have asked, Lord. They've come to you. They're trusting you. Their faith is out there, and you're not a man that you can lie. And we just thank you for the significance of this day and what it represents. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit just breathe fresh on every single thing that is in these cylinders. And we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.